Today's daf is daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, and three lines from the top. And we had yesterday machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel whether we were mishalim by nezek, we were mishalim from the nizak. We assess the value of the damage done by the nizak's field or by the mazik's field, and to which the Gemara said in the situation. The Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel is in the situation where the best of the Nizak's fields, the one who was damaged, his field is Kiziburus of the Mazik. It's like the worst field of the Mazik. So Rabbi Shmuel Sava b'denizik shamin. Rabbi Shmuel said that we assess the value based on the Nizak's field, so that we do go after the best field of, we assess based on the best field of the Nizak. And Rabbi Akiva says, "Bid the mazik shayminan." No, we can go after the mazik's worst field, and we can assess the value according to his worst field, so that it works out a little easier in this case for the mazik, for the one who actually did the damage. So here the Gemara is going on to explain the difference, the reason of the difference between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. My Tamad Rabbi Shmuel, what is the reason of Rabbi Shmuel? So you say Nemra Sada Lamata Venemra Sada Lamala. In the pasuk of in Mishpatim, we find it's one pasuk, and we'll find this pasuk here. And it's in Perachov Beis Pasuk Dalek. Yaver Ish Sada Acherem. If someone destroys the field or a vineyard of his friend, uviyah b'steyacher, and he causes his damage or his animal causes damage in this other field, meitav sadehu, from the best of his field, umeitav karmo yishalim, and from the best of his karim, of his vineyard, shall the damage be assessed. That's the pasuk in which we're discussing here. So the Gemara again says, Nemra, it says, sada lamata. It says the word sada in the beginning of the pasuk, kiyaver ish sada oicherem, menemar sada lamala. And then at the bottom of the pasuk, the end of the pasuk, it's the very same pasuk which we just read. It says again the word sada, meitav sadehu, he has to pay from the best of his sada. So you say, ma sada hamura lamala. The nizak, just as the first half of the pasuk, is talking about the nizak yaver ish sada. If someone damages someone else's fields, obviously that part of the pasuk is referring to the victim's field. Af sada hamura lamata. So then, by the same token, we're going to be consistent here and say that the end of the pasuk also is referring to the nizak. When it comes to assessing the damages, it's assessed according to the nizak's property, not the mazik. That's Rabbi Shmuel's line of thinking. The Gemara actually referred to this as a gzeirah shavah. It's a little bit of an unusual type of a gzeirah shavah. Usually a gzeirah shavah is two different psukim from two disparate parts of the Torah, but here it's within the same pasuk itself. Rabbi Akiva says, Meitav sadehu yishalim. No, the pasuk says, Meitav sadehu yishalim. You have to pay from the best of his fields. Deheich dekom yishalim. It's the pasuk is telling us, how do you pay? You pay from the best possible property value, and the best possible way of paying is the damager has to be assessed according to his own property. So when the end of the pasuk says "Meitav Yisadehu," it refers to Meitav Sadehu, the pasuk is in essence telling us it's switching gears. It's true. In the beginning it says "Ishkiyav Ish Sadeh Acherim." It's true. It says that you damage somebody's field, but then when the pasuk says "Meitav Sadehu," he says no longer a gezerah shavah. Now it's just telling us pay from the best, and the best in this situation would be the best of the mazik's property. So, Rabbi Yishmael, how does he respond to Rabbi Akiva? Because it makes sense to say that the pasuk is not really addressing the same issue, just because the word sada appears twice. It's not really addressing the issue. One is addressing the actual occurrence of the damage. One is addressing assessing the damage. Rabbi Shmuel says, no, ahani gzera shava vahani kra. The gzera shava is helpful here, vahani kra, but the pasuk itself is, or the understanding of the pasuk itself is helpful. In other words, we can understand both sides of the issue here, both by using the gzera shava and using the simple meaning of the pasuk itself, the text. Ahani gezer l'shav l'kadi amram. The gezer l'shav is useful here, as we just said before, to establish the fact that we're assessed from the nizak's property. Ahani kra, but on the other hand, with the pasuk also helps us, the es le'lamazik idis viziburis. If the mazik has idis, and the mazik, in other words, he has a very fine field. Viziburis, and he has a very poor quality field. Viziburis didei lo shav yeki idis denizak, but his worst field, the mazik's worst field, is not as good as the nizak's best field. Then mishalalim mimeitav, and then we'll pay from the best part of the field of the mazik's field. So in other words, yeah, Rabbi Shmuel said, indeed, sometimes we have to pay from the value of the mazik's field. That is in a situation where the ziburis is the worst of the field the worst of the field of the mazik is not as good as the best of the nizik. Then we say, then in such a case, you have to go to the best of the mazik's field, because we can't allow him to get away with such a poor quality payment. So in other words, he is splitting the understanding of the pasuk. Generally speaking, the gezer shava tells us that you're supposed to assess based on the nizak, but there are cases where we do have to go to the meitav, and the meitav are the best of the mazik's field as well, depending on the quality value of the mazik compared to as assessed against the nizak. Rabbi Akiva says, no, lo boha kosev, that the purpose of this pasuk is el ligvos lenezikin min ha'idis, that you're always supposed to collect from top value of the idis, the best portions of the field. That's the purpose of this pasuk, is you always go to the best portions of the field, and it should be based on the mazik's field value. And v'kal v'chomel lehektish, and if it's true. Now, Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara will pick up on later down the line, down our Amud, Rabbi Akiva, it's not so clear in his response what exactly he's responding to Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara will try to get to that. But right now, Rabbi Akiva is saying, Lo baha kasav, the purpose of this pasuk, elo ligvos l'nezikim in idis. The purpose of this pasuk was to establish the fact that when it comes to paying, when you damage property, take the best value of the property. And take the best value, as Rabbi Akiva felt, the best value of the mazik's property. But most importantly is v'kal v'chomel hekdesh. Certainly, this is true of hekdesh. You have to pay from the idis, from the best value that you have. So we'll try to understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying with this immediate statement, and then the Gemara will broaden the discussion a bit. So Gemara says, my kal v'chomel hekdesh. When he said that certainly by hekdesh you have to pay from the idis, what did he mean to say by that? Ilema the negicha tura di dun, the tura de hekdesh. If you're going to say, what's the situation? How did such an occurrence happen that we had a person was able to inflict damage upon hekdesh? What's the situation here? Ilema the negicha tura di dun, the tura de hekdesh. If it's talking about a plain ox, one of ours, so to speak, a regular ordinary owner's ox, the tura de hekdesh, he gored an ox belonging to hekdesh. So, well, we know Shorei Ehu Amarachmana Velo Shor Shel Hekdesh. We have a drasha which tells us that the pasuk now reads as follows. All right. Sorry, as I'm looking here, I'm just trying to come up with the pasuk. But it says v'chiyigach ish es sharei ehu, that if an ox gores the ox of his fellow of his belonging to his fellow. Okay. You'll excuse me as I look this up. I had it marked off before, but it's important to see something in that pasuk. Yeah, but what's the pasuk? Dalet. No, it's not there. No, it's not. Okay. All right. The pasuk does say v'chigash yivishar re'ehu that if his ox gores the ox of his friend, then he has to pay. Then he's yishaling. Now, however, so the pasuk darshens from here. So the Torah is addressing the it's only if your ox gores the ox of your fellow comrade. Velo shor shel hekdesh, but not if it's a shor of hekdesh. What I was trying to show here, and excuse me for these words flying in front of me now, is in a very interesting Balaturim. Sorry, not Balaturim, Evan Ezra. And the Evan Ezra says, Ki yigach ish shor ehu. So the Evan Ezra says, he quotes perhaps you can find it as I'm trying to. The Evan Ezra says that he quotes the words of a Ben Buta, and Ben Buta was a Karoi, and he understands that Kiyiga Shorehu, that the Shorehu means the Shor gores the ox gores his friend, the ox. Notice the ox had a friend, his fellow friend, another ox. And he gores that other his own friendly ox, and not understanding that the shor that shreihu means not that the ox was a friend of that ox, but it belonged to the friend of the person of the owner, and so the Evan Ezra goes on to say that this is silly, this is nonsense. We're not referring to shreihu. Doesn't mean that the shor had a friend, and he goes on to prove that so. And he says, "Ve'ein le'shareya ella ben buta levado." The only friend that the shor really has is Ben Buta. As Ben Buta himself was the only friend that the ox really had. Ben Buta was a karoy, and the Evan Ezra was fond of quoting karoy every so often, and then letting them have it with some sharp words. All right. So shareya rachmana v'lo shor shel hekdesh. So we saw that we know that a shor shel hekdesh, if you damage a shor shel hekdesh, according to this drasha, is free from having any compensation. So Rabbi Akiva could not have meant that. Ela la'ima harei alai mana lebedek habayis. But okay, so it's not talking about when an ox scores an ox of hekdesh, but it's talking about whether he says, I will have donate, or I volunteer to pay to Bedek HaBayis a certain amount of money. The Azba Gizel Vishakal Me'idis. Let's say he doesn't come through with the money, so now he's got to pay the value of a field, Vishakal Me'idis, and he takes it from the Idis of the Karka. Okay, I'm sorry, let's go back to the interruption here. I thank you for your help here. It's in Chaf Aleph, Perich Chaf Aleph Pasuk Lamed Hei, V'chigav Ish Shari Ehu. And there the Evan Ezra does indeed say, Ve'ein l'shareya rak ben zuta, his name was Ben Zuta Levado. Okay, thank you. Now, so coming back to it's our Gemara. So perhaps that's what Rabbi Akiva means to say, that when a person contributes a certain amount of money to the Gizbar, and they of the Bedek HaBayis, the Beis HaMikdash, he can't come through, so we collect it from the Idis, from the property that he has. Or let's say he assessed it based on his property, the best property value that he has. So maybe that is what Rabbi Akiva meant to say when he said, V'kal v'chom al ha'kdish. Well, lo yehei el ha'bal chayv. The worst he should be is to be like a Baal Chayv, like any other person who's indebted. A Baal Chayv did the bainus. And we know a Baal Chayv, when he owes some, when Reuven owns Shimon money, and he has to pay up, and he can't pay up from a money value, so then we assess the property, but based on the bainus, the middle level property value, and not from his best property. So why would Rabbi Akiva then say, Kavah Chavala Hekdesh, Hekdesh has to be done from the Idis of the Mazik? And if you're going to say that, no, maybe indeed Rabbi Akiva holds that indeed a Baal Chov takes not from the Beinonis, but he does indeed take from the Idis, takes from the best. So then still this doesn't work out. Ikal lemifrach, still Rabbi Akiva's kavachoma doesn't work out. Mala Baal Chayv, sheken yafa kocha ben Ezekin. Because you have a pircha on the kavachomer. You can't compare a balchov to nezikin. Mal balchov shekein yochav a kofa menezikin. A balchov who, when it comes to damages, he if you damage somebody, Reuven damages Simon, he's got to pay up in nezikin. If I cause you damage, I've got to pay up. Toma behegdish. How can I say hegdish is more chomer? Because I know that there's a sort of, let's call it, a weak spot in hegdish. Toma behegdish shekein hura kochav menezikin. When it comes to nezikin, we know that hegdish's power is diminished. Why? Because we just finished saying right before that when it comes to one cow goring another cow, when it comes to hegdish, I don't have to pay anything. So you see that, in, to a certain extent, hegdish is weaker than a balchov, who you do have to pay damages by nezikin. So how could Rabbi Akiva say it's a kavachomer to hegdish? No such kavachomer. Hegdish is standing on weaker legs than is the average person. So the Gemara says, no, la'olam de negicha tura didan, you're right. We're going back to his original premise, la'olam de nachay tura didan la tura de hegdish. Really it's talking about where a common cow gored the ox of hegdish. So we just said before that you don't have to pay anything. Rabbi Akiva savlok Rav Shimon Menasya, but Rabbi Akiva is going to hold Rav Shimon Menasya. The Tanya, Rav Shimon Menasya oimer, shor shel hegdish enagach shor l'shor shel hedyot. That if a hegdish shor gores the shor of hedyot, potter, he's potter. However, v'shel hedyot, in other words, if an ox belonging to a hegdish gores a common cow, an ordinary cow, is potter. Vishel hedyot shenagach l'shor shel hegdish. But if a hedyot ox gores a, in other words, a plain ox gores a hegdish ox, bein tam or bein mu'ad mishalem nezik shalem. Whether it's a tam, which means it's a cow that only gored for the first two times, you normally pay chatzi nezik, you only have to pay half the damages. It's only when it's established by three times that you pay nezik shalem. No, but by says Rav Shimon Menasya, when it comes to hegdish, you're totally out of luck here. You have to pay by a nezik shalem even the first time around. So. So Rabbi Akiva, you want to know why Rabbi Akiva said the kavachomer lehekdish? Because he's going to hold like Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Now, as far as what does Rav Shimon ben Menasya do with the drasha that we just had before, shorei ayom arachmana velo shor shel hekdish, that it said that the Gemara had this drasha that it's only if you shorei ayom, the pasuk said shorei ayom, it's only your friend's ox who gores. So Rav Shimon Menasya does not darshan that pasuk. Rav Shimon Menasya says that's only teaching us that that's referring to the fact if hegdish happens to be involved in with your shor that they do not have to pay. But as far as all the rules of nezik and chatzin nezik shalem, that only applies to, in other words, that you get off by a half nezik with nezik tam. There, Shorei Ehu is teaching us that the standard laws of hegdish the standard laws of tam and mu'ud only apply to two ordinary people coming into clash. But when an ordinary person's cow comes into clash with a hegdish's cow, then those rules no longer apply. Then because then at the very beginning, even at the tam, he has to pay nezik shalem. So again, he's using that pasuk Shorei Ehu not to tell us that if you bump into a hegdish cow, you're potter. He's coming to tell us that it comes to exclude that the normal standard halachas that apply to tam and mu'ud do not apply to the case of hegdish. And at first bumping and goring of the one cow to hegdish, you already have to pay nezik shalem. So that's how he'll darshan. And that Rabbi Akiva will hold of that drasha, and that's why Rabbi Akiva said kal v'chomer, it's a kal v'chomer to hegdish, because indeed hegdish is more chomer. So the Gemara says, Ihachi, okay, so if Rabbi Akiva holds Rav Shimon Menasya, Mimai, the Be'idus, the Nizik, his Iburus, the Mazik, Pligi, who says, you know, we set up this machloikus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, that the Idus of the Nizik, if that's equal to the Ziburus of the Mazik, and in that particular point, is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel had their disagreement. Because again, it wasn't so clear when Rabbi Akiva responded before to Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva said, lo ba hakasav ela ligvas l'nezikim in idus. It wasn't clear, lo ba hakasav, what he meant by that. How fully did he mean to disagree with Rabbi Yishmael's opinion? So now the Gemara is saying maybe the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael forgetting about that maybe it wasn't this situation, this unusual situation that the Idus of the Nizik was like the Ziburus of the Mazik. Maybe it was in a more localized issue. Dimly the Kuliyama bid Nizik Shaminim. Maybe everybody agrees that you pay based on the Nizak, which means maybe Rabbi Akiva really holds like Rabbi Shmuel's opinion that you'd normally go with the Idus of the Nizak. But where do they argue? They argue on this very issue of Rabbi Shimon ben Yasya, meaning when a cow of a hegyed cow gores a hegdish cow, does it have to pay or not? And could be Rabbi Shmuel holds it does not have to pay. Rabbi Akiva is in line with Shimon ben Yasya. It does have to pay even Nezek Shalom at the point of being tam. So he said, right, the plukta of Shimon ben Asiyah kamifligi. The Rabbi Akiva savalak Rabbi Shimon ben Asiyah. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Asiyah. Rabbi Shmuel savalak Rabbanon, and Rabbi Shmuel holds like the Rabbanon. Maybe that's the extent of the machlokes, and I didn't really even mean to have a machlokes about Idus and Nizik, and they all hold and Mazik and Nizik, and they really all agree that you have to pay for the Nizik. So to which the Gemara says, no, in Cain, why would if that's what you're going to say that he really held, they were really arguing about something on the side altogether about being a hezek of hektish. My lo baha kosov. Why would Rabbi Akiva respond to Rabbi Shmuel's words? Rabbi Shmuel established himself, and Rabbi Shmuel said that you have to pay for the nizak. And Rabbi Akiva responded by saying, lo baha kosov. No, the only purpose of this pasuk of sadehu, which you were just referring to, of sada, the gzera shav that Rabbi Shmuel had. So it seems Rabbi Akiva was directly responding to Rabbi Shmuel's statement of that gezer shav of sada. So obviously they weren't talking about the localized issue of a cow clashing with hektish. He was responding to what he just raised, the issue that Rabbi Shmuel said nizik, and I feel it's mazik. Otherwise, why would he have said lo bar kosev? The only purpose of the pasuk that you just mentioned of meitav karmi shalim, why is he responding to that? Va'oid. My kavala chaimala hektish. If the whole issue is about hektish, so why would Rabbi Akiva say, certainly this applies to hektish? If they mean to discuss hektish, why would he say it's a kavala chaimala hektish? But besides all that, Amar Ravashi, we have Ravashi has a brisa that tells us, Tanya, Behedji, we have a beferish, an explicit brisa, now that we're in Amar Beis, telling us, Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karmi Yishalim. So, Meitav Sadehu Shal Nizak, or Meitav Karma Shal Nizak. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, according to this brisa, clearly understands this pasuk of Meitav Sadehu, Meitav Karma Yishalim. He clearly understands that pasuk as referring to teach us that you have to pay from the Nizak all the time. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, me Meitav Sadehu Shal Mazik, or Meitav Karma Shal Mazik. You have to pay based on assessed on the best value of the Mazik's property, and the best value of the Mazik's vineyard. So anyway, what we see though from this brisa clearly that there was a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel about whether it's the Nizik Shaminan or the Mazik Shaminan, and we can't say that their machlokes really did not have to do with that and was only relegated to the machlokes of Shimon ben Asiyah of Shor Shel Hegyot clashing with Shor Shel Hektish. So we must understand then, as we said before, that is their machlokes is in that regard of Nizik and Mazik. Now the Gemara is going to come back to the original issue that it raised as to why the Mishnah referred to this as a tikkun olam, that they have to they made certain upgrades in terms of where they have to pay from. As the Mishnah said, "Mifnei Tikkun Olam," that this was done as an enactment, as an improvement done by the Rabbanim. So the Gemara, the first question the Gemara had on Memches and Mebeis, "Mifnei Tikkun Olam," the Yiraisahi, that's Minatara, Meitav Sadeh, Meitav Karmi Yishalim, that you have to pay from the best of your field. So the fact that you have to pay, which the Mishnah had opened by saying, "Hanizak and Shaman Lambeidus," if you pay from the best of your field, why do you call that Tikkun Olam? That's Diraisa. That was the Gemara's original kasha. So now Ravina's coming back to that question. Ravina Amala Olam Asnisin Rabbi Akiva Hi. Really, our Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. The Amal Midiraisa be the Mazik Shaminim. That Minatara that you're supposed to pay from the Mazik's best field. Rabbi Shimon Hi. So if that's the case, so if it's from the mazik and he's supposed to pay the best, then why does the Mishnah indeed say refer to it as tikkun olam? So to that, Ravina answers. Rav Shimon here. This will be understood according to Rav Shimon. The Rav Shimon darish time in the Krah. Rav Shimon always was throughout Shas. Rav Shimon held the darish time in the Krah. In other words, we have the right to understand. The Torah gave us certain understandings the Torah was explicit as to and gave reason to why you should or shouldn't do a specific mitzvah. So we're allowed to go with that reason and say where the reason does not apply, then you don't have to follow through on that mitzvah. For example, if in Kisetze we're told that you're not supposed to hold on to the blanket or the garment of a Torah put in terms of a woman, if you lend a woman money, you're not supposed to hold on to security her blanket for as a mashkan, but you must return to her every night. But if this was a wealthy woman, differ of Shimon says, it was a wealthy woman who really may not need her blanket because she has other at her disposal, so then you don't have to be sure to return it every night to her. It's only for a poor woman who otherwise you don't want to leave her bereft of any garments. So that was Rabbi Akiva, who feels that you can darish time of the Krah if you can, since the Torah sort of led us in a way, a pattern of thinking, then if we are in a situation which is not conformed to the circumstances, we can do differently. So Ma Tam Ka'amar. So he's saying here, what's the reason? So Rav Shimon will explore what's the reason. Ma Tam Ka'amar Hanizakin Mishamin Lai Me'idis. What is the reason that in the case of Nizakin, when you do damage, you're supposed to pay from the best, as the Torah says, Meitav Karma Yishalim, Mifnei Tikkun Ma'alam. Because it's the Torah, Rav Shimon is saying the Torah had in mind the Tikkun Olam. The Torah had in mind that this is for the benefit of the upkeep of mankind. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Amr Rav Shimon, Mifnei Ma Amru HaNizakin Shaman Lehem Be'idis. Why is it that we said that the Nizakin pay by Idis? Mifnei HaGazlanim or Mifnei HaChamsanim? Because we're concerned about the thieves and the extortionists in this world. Why? A person should say, listen, it's not worth it for me to steal. And certainly not worth it for me to be an extortionist either. Why? Because Bezin is going to go, I don't have money to pay back. What's Bezin going to do? They're going to go and assess my property. And they're going to take my most beautiful field away from me. And the Bezdin will be acting properly. Those, this Gazlan is a Talmud Chacham, and he's going to know, as Rabbi Elephant would be fond to say, Gazlan comes to Daf Yom Yishir. And so the Gazlan knows that he's going to be taking from the Meitav, from the best of the field. Therefore, the Torah said, Meitav Karma Yishalim. So Ravina is saying here that when the Mishnah said Mifnei Tikkun Olam, it's not that it was a Rabbanon decree to enhance the status of the world for the social benefit of mankind. No, that is what the Torah had in mind. The Torah had in mind to see to it to protect the situation of Gazlanim freely stealing property or stealing valuables. And this will prevent them, or certainly will make them think twice before doing so, if they knew that they are subjecting their own best property to be confiscated by Bezdin. And then he continues, Mifnei ma omru balchav ebeninis, and why did they indeed say that a balchav it collects with beninis? Now, when it says mifnei ma omru, it doesn't mean necessarily ma omru the rabbanim. Here, if we're remaining with Rabbi Shimon's thought here, then we're saying this is the Torah had this in mind. Mifnei ma omru balchav ebeninis, and why is it that a balchav collects with a middle level field? Kedei shelo yira adam lachaveiro. The balchav is a person who is Reuven lends Shimon money, so if he has the right to collect, and Shimon can't pay back the money, so he has the right to exact his property from him, but it's bein on his property, middle level property. Kedei shelo yira adam lachaveiro sodana v'dirana. A person is going to say, hey, look, that guy has a nice field, and he has a nice apartment. V'yomer, and he'll say to himself, ekbots valveno, you know what, I want that field, and I have a good scheme here how to get this from him. V'yomer, ekbots valveno, let me go ahead and I'll jump ahead, and literally means I'll jump ahead and I'll lend him. And I know he's not going to be able to, I know this guy, and I know this fellow's not going to be able to pay back. And now, in to collect my chov, I'll be able to get his wonderful field and his wonderful apartment. Therefore they said, no, not so fast. Don't think of the scheme so fast, because you're not going to collect from his best, you're going to collect at best from his middle level property. So the Gemara says, okay, that makes sense, but El Miata Yeb is Zuburus. So if you really want to prevent him from enacting such a scheme, so let it be known that a Baal Chov is only collect from the worst. Why middle level? So the Gemara says, no, because we can't go to that extreme. In Kain Atanol Delis Bifnei Ulavin, because then what you're going to cause here is that no one's going to want to lend anybody money. If I know that at the best I can do, if I lend money, and the best I'll be able to collect if he defaults is from his worst property, I'm not going to be inclined to lend. We want to encourage the people to lend, so they lend and we give them back the Beinonis if Besdin has to assess the property. It's based on the Beinonis, but on the other hand, it's not assessed on the Idis, because we don't want the fellow to scheme either to get the fellow's best property. Gemara continues, Ksuvas Isha Beziburis, the Ksuva of an Isha, if a woman has to collect her value of the Ksuva, let's say in the case of a divorce, so now the husband owes her X amount of money, so now she has to resort to collecting based on his properties. If, for example, he's not making good on the money, so we assess his property value. So she collects from the worst of the fields. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rav Meir Amar Bebeinonis. Rav Meir says, no, she can collect from the middle level fields. So Amar Rav Shimon. So Rav Shimon said, if Ma Amar Ksuvas Isha Biziburis. Why is it that a woman collects from Ziburis? Now again, there's a machlokas, a well-known machlokas throughout, whether ksuvas isha is minatar midrabbana. So here it might be Rav Shimon who's being consistent in saying that it is mifnei amro. My amro means it's minatara. Minatara, a woman's entitled to a ksuva, but why is it she only collects from ziburis? Or it's also possible that Rav Shimon will agree that ksuvas isha is only the Rabbanon, and in which case the mifnei ma'amra means why did the Rabbanon say it? But either way, either he wanted to know why the Torah felt this way or why the Rabbanon felt this way. Mifnei ma'amra ksuvas isha biziburis. Why is it indeed we say that a woman collects from the ziburis? She yoser ma'ima sheha'ish rotzalisa ha'isha rotzalinase. Because more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to get married. So a woman's not going to mind collecting, even if it's in the bottom level of property, she's not going to mind that much, because she's just happy that someone's going to marry her. Even if she knows that if she has to collect on her ksuva, it might not be the best deal, but she's happy to get married in any case. So therefore, a woman, well, even if she knows she's going to collect from Zaburis, she's happy to get married. Right. So the Davar Acher, now here the Gemara understands Davar Acher as another explanation as to why she collects from Zaburis, but the Gemara will clarify that in a moment. Davar Acher, Isha Yotza L'Ritzona V'Shelo L'Ritzona. A woman goes out Minatara, a woman is whether she wants to be divorced or not. Meaning, Minatara, a woman can be divorced against her will. Isha yotzel ritzona v'shalol ritzona. A woman goes out whether she's willingly or not willingly, she gets divorced. For ish ena motzia ela l'ritzona, but a man can only be divorced if he wills to be divorced. And of course we know since the Rabbeinu Gershon, a woman cannot be forcibly divorced either. But min haTorah, a woman can be forcibly divorced. So the Gemara, all right, so that's the statement. So the Gemara wants to know, what are you saying here? What does this statement mean to imply? So my davar acher, what does this mean, davar acher? So what is he just coming to add with this davar acher? What is Rav Shimon explaining with this second explanation that a woman can go gets divorced even against her will? What is that coming to explain here? To which the Gemara says, "V'chitema." This is what Rav Shimon has in mind. just like Tikkun Olam Rabbanan Ksuva Minei, just like if a man divorces a woman. So to protect the woman, for the woman's protection, she must have a ksuva, so that he knows he's going to have to pay her at the end, and he can't just leave her go destitute. So for her own protection, we have this concept of a ksuva. So kinafka ihi. So let's say that when she's forcing the issue of the divorce, meaning that she's pressing the case of the divorce, so that it forces him to make the move of getting divorced. So now he feels that she's put me into a situation where I must get divorced. So what about his protection? So kinaf, he wants equal rights. Kinafka ihi, when she is forcing the issue, nami liskina le rabban ksuva. Why don't we have a ksuva for man? Equal rights. Woman gets a ksuva. Why shouldn't the man get a ksuva? He's entitled to protection. Liskina le rabban ksuva mina. Let him also get a protection. Tashima, that's what Rabbi Shimon is coming to teach us. Isha yotzel ritzon v'shelo ritzon. A woman in a Torah gets divorced whether she likes to or not. And unfortunately, conclude here. V'ish ena motzi el ritzono, but a man can only divorces according to his own will. Efshe demashi le begita, so it's possible he'll have her leave her without her ksuva altogether. So that, in other words, in common parlance, that's known that he's a recalcitrant husband. He can become a recalcitrant husband and refuse to give a get and leave her in bad shape, and he can go ahead and marry another woman, as unfair as it appears to be. But that's the situation that the man was in, that he could force her. Again, now things have changed since Rabbeinu Gershom, that you can't enforce her against the will. But so since he can always just move on with his life. So therefore, the Rabbanu felt, you need no protection. You need no protection. What are we protecting with a ksuva for? You're free to do what you want in any case. It's true, you'll be a scoundrel as far as your behavior with your wife and leaving her there without a divorce. But as far as the issue of having to protect the husband, why should you be protected? You're free to do what you want. So that's what the Davar Acha. Davar Acha was, he's saying, nothing related to his original explanation of why a woman collects Mziburis, as an aside, he was just explaining why men are not entitled to a Kesuvah, because basically they don't need the same protection that a woman needs. Okay. Coming back to this thought, now the Gemara says, Ksuvas Isha Beziburis. A woman's ksuva is collected from the ziburis, from the worst property level of fields. Amar Zubar B'Rei D'Rav Nachman. Lo Amran El Miyasmi. This situation of where she collects from ziburis, that's only talking she's collecting from the yesamim. In other words, she's a widow. She's not divorced, but she's a widow. She has to go to the yesamim and say to the yesamim, hey, listen, your father owed me this money. That's what he guaranteed me this money through the ksuva. I'm entitled to this money, but she has to subpoena the yesamim, the children, to court to get her money. So by yesamim, we always say that it goes, that she collects from the ziburis. We always try to give the yesamim the upper hand. Avaminadi day, but if she's going to collect directly from him, her husband directly, either let's say there were no yesamim, or let's say she's a divorcee, so that it's not an issue of yesamim. The husband's still alive, just a divorce. So avaminadi David Bainus, then a woman wouldn't decollect from the Bainus, a middle level field, not the ziburis. So the Gemara says, miyasmi, if you're going to say that the situation is talking about where she's, that from yesamim, that's where she collects the ziburis, my iriyak suvas isha, why are we so careful to say that this case is talking about a suvas isha? I feel the call milinami. Any situation where yasam is involved, you collect from ziburis. Tanah, we have a mishnah. Ain't it from a nichsa yasamim element ziburis? That the only, whenever you collect from yasamim, you only collect at every situation where yasamim are involved, you can only collect from the ziburis, from the worst of their properties, because we can say we have compassion or rahmanis on yasamim. We want to take it easy on them. So why should we need a specific ruling regarding the case of Yisomim and Ksuva? El alav minei. So it must be that we are talking about for collecting from him. So why did you say before there was Yisomim? So the Gemara says, no, le'olam miyasmi. No, really it is, we are talking about Yisomim here. V'ksuvas isha itzrichalei. But I still need to tell me a specific halacha as in regards to k'suva, even though it applies to every case of yasam, but we have to be specific to k'suva. Why? Salka daita chamina mishum china ikilu barabon and gabah. I would have thought that maybe because of china, the Rabbanon would have been more relaxed with her, allowed her to collect, upgrade, and allow it to collect from Beinonis. Now Rashi says, what's the China? China means that we want her to have favor. So Rashi says that the China here is up on top. We want men to be attracted to women. If a woman goes out with a proper collection, she comes out wealthy from the ksuva, and she comes out with the finest property, or at least the best property she can get, she'll be a more attractive for another man, for the next husband to marry. Oh, she has fine property. She has better property than the Ziburis, that's for sure. So I would have thought for that reason, we want the woman to remain attractive to men. Now, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos in the Divrei Maskil Mishum China quotes Rashi, but he comes to a different conclusion on the bottom of a Nira Kapish Rabbeinu Hanel, Chananel, the Pirish Mishum China, Shiyu HaKol Kavtzim Aleha Lisa Ena, that if a husband knows that she is, if men know that they are, Rashi had said, "You are nashim nosu chem ben anashim." That men should look fine in the woman's eyes. V'yinasu lahem. In other words, if women know that men are going to be generous at the end of the marriage with iksuva, women will be more inclined to get married. Because they'll know the husband will give him a good deal. Tosfos says, no, we want the woman to walk away with a good deal, and that's why, so that they should be more attractive to the next husband. That's how Tosfos understands. Anyway, so we would have said, coming back to the Gemara, we would have said, Mishum Achina Kilabar Rabbana, because to keep her let's just stay with Tosfos, to keep her attractive, fiscally attractive to the next husband, therefore the Rabbanu have allowed her to upgrade and to collect even from Beinonis. So Kamash Malan, that no, that we don't, and if it's Yisamim, the halacha remains intact, and that is that you collect only from the Zaburis, and we don't take into account that we want this woman to easily get married to the next fellow. Amar Rava. So Rava says as follows. Tashima, Rav Meir says, Ksuvas Isha Bebeinonis. Rav Meir held that Ksuvas Isha collects from Beinonis, not from Ziburis. Miman, so who is he collecting, who is she collecting the Beinonis from? Ilem Miyasmi, if you're going to say that she collects from Yisomim on the Beinonis level, less later, Rav Meir had the Tanan, ain't from Minichse Yisomim? Doesn't Rav Meir hold that doesn't he agree that which we just finished learning before, that when it comes to Yisomim, you can only collect the element of a Ziburis, you can only collect from the Ziburis, Av Elalav Minei, that it must be that he collects from, we're talking about when does she collect from Beinonis, that's if she goes directly to the husband, and she's not involved with Yisomim. So the Gemara says, Michlal, the Rabbanon, Savri, Biziburis. So it looks like the Rabbanon are going to, if Rav Meir says that, then as we have a brisa that tells us Rav Meir says that you collect only from we have a mission that says Rav Meir that you only collect from the Beinonis. So apparently the Rabbanon who disagree with Rav Meir will probably hold from the Ziburis, even if you're going directly to collect from the husband. And you know, usually the halacha is like the Rabbanon. So to which the Gemara says, no, lo la'olam me'yasmi. Really, we're talking about here where she's collecting from Yisomim. But however, so why did Rav Meir issue a statement that says you collect from Beinonis? V'shayni ksuvas isha. But Rav Meir will indeed hold that ksuvas isha is different than every other case of Yisomim because mishum chino. Rav Meir will factor in the chino. the chinah aspect of this. And he will say, yes, chinah is a reason to upgrade, and that is the reason why a woman who collects even from Yisroelim by Iksuva, she will upgrade to Beinonis, because we want the woman to remain attractive for the next husband. Then the Gemara says, Amar Abaye Tashma HaNizakin Shaman Lama Idis. Our mission taught us that Nizakin you pay from the Idis level, or Baal Chav Beinus, and a Baal Chav collects from the middle level. Uksivas Isha Biziburis, and Uksivas Isha is from the lowest level field. So Miman, who are we talking about collecting from? Miyasmi, if it's talking from Yisam, my Uksivas Isha. Then what's the chiddush? We're sort of going through the same kind of question again. My iri k'suvas isha. Why is it Afka k'suvas isha that collects from the ziburis? If we're talking about yisomim, all yisomim always collect from ziburis. Afilo kol haninami elalav minei. So, but it must be. Then we are talking about when we even from him that we collect. So this position of the Mishnah must mean that even if you go to the husband to collect directly, you're also only collecting from the Ziburis.
Is it up?